review of last week. We started into verbs, and we got the Luo paradigm, the very first present active indicative. Talked about the different components of verbs. So, parsing components, things like person, number, voice, and mood. Are those all fairly, with the exception of mood, you don't have to really understand mood too well yet.
But yeah, that was the only part that was...
Okay. For now, all you need to know is indicative, and it's just the mood of statement. It's just saying what is. That's all we're going to be looking at. And so, in parsing, anytime you see a verb in this class, it'll be indicative mood. So that's one part of the chart you always have. The other three make sense?
Yep.
Those are pretty common to English, too. Then we have tense. And so, all we've seen so far is the present tense. We're going to look at the imperfect, or excuse me, we're still going to look at the present, we're going to look at different voices next week. But you've got three different ways of doing past time, and we talked about the aspect. What's aspect?
It's like the thing that's happening, like if he's hitting the ball, hitting the process of doing something to the ball.
Yeah, it's the kind of action that's taking place. My Greek prof just drilled it in. I say aspect, you say kind of action. Aspect, kind of action. So it's the kind of action. Is it continuous, punctiliar, start in the past and stop in the past, etc. So generally speaking, you've got continuous, undefined, and completed action. Those are your aspects, your kinds of action. Is it ongoing? Is it undefined, you just don't know, you just said something happened, you're not really specifying the kind of action that took place. That's wrapped up in tense, and so when we get in the imperfect and the aorist, we'll talk about the different ways to translate that to bring out the aspect more. And then last week we looked at the present active indicative. So present tense, active voice, indicative mood, and then you have your little chart of six words that go through person and number. This is what makes Greek difficult. Probably next week or the week after, I'll give you the entire Greek paradigm chart that has every mood, tense, aspect. And you can see all like 130 different ways you can write one word.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be fun. But we'll get there. And you have the idea of a stem and an ending down pretty clear, right? Okay. That's going to be particularly important today when we get into contract vowels. Clarity on what the stem is with the connecting vowel and how the ending links on causes some issues sometimes with the vowels. So that's what we're looking at today with contract vowels. Contract verbs, we'll get to that. And we went over Luo, Luo, Luo. Let me see how you're doing that. Yep. You got it. And you understand what all those mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
I lose, you lose. He loses, y'all, etc.
Yeah.
That's, you said you're learning French, right? So that's...
Yeah, I basically just put in the meaning with the French words.
Yeah, okay. And then agreement is also should be pretty okay with that, considering learning other Latin languages. It's your verb has to match your noun. Okay, so that's what we went over last week. We'll go over homework now and look at the parsing. And I did come up with a new way of doing the chart on the parsing, so
okay.
You don't get to see the answers before. I have to click on the bar and it'll disappear. I'm getting all fancy with my PowerPoints. So, let's go with, just start out right away, number one. Walk me through what you were thinking as you're doing your...
Well, I was starting off as, you know, looking at the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what that meant. The only good thing that I saw that, you know, maybe could have been an ending was like in the very middle of the word. But I don't think that's it. So.
Okay. So that's okay. You know your Luo paradigm?
Mm-hmm.
Your Luo, Luis, Lue. The stem of this word is the lambda upsilon.
Yeah.
The endings are O, Ace, A. Amen ete usi, right? Or usin. So number one, you see, what would you guess is the stem?
So that'd be
Yeah, pretty close. It's leg, the lambda, epsilon, gamma. So, leg. And the ending is usin. So, link that up with what you know here. Plural, yeah. Number is plural.
Gender would be neutral because it's a them.
Correct. So, yeah. So, up here you have person slash case and then tense slash gender.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's a verb, it doesn't have a gender or a case. It has a person and a tense. And if it's a noun, it doesn't have a person or a tense. It just has a case and a gender. So that's why he puts those together, so that if you have a noun, you go across the board and you fill in all those. If you have a verb, you don't need to. So, yeah, so for verbs, every single one of these boxes should get something put into it. It doesn't have a gender because it's a verb.
Yeah.
So what tense is it?
Present.
Voice. This is where actually right now it's really easy to do this parsing because tense, voice, and mood, we've only learned one tense, one voice, and one mood.
So the mood would be indicative.
Mood would be indicative, and the voice would be? It's the one that's up in the corner. Yeah. So that's where memorizing this little box on each of the paradigms I give you, present, active, indicative, let you know what. So yeah. That's a little clue. All of the verbs you see here are going to be present, active, indicative, because that's the only kind of verb you've learned so far. So you got number, you had tense, voice, mood. What about person?
They, so maybe.
Right, so first, second, or third is what you put there.
Third.
Third, yeah. So, and then lexical form. So you got to get your dictionary out if you haven't learned your vocab. Leg would be the stem. The lexical form will always be the first person singular present active indicative stem, unless otherwise.
So it would be Lego,
yeah. So yeah, Lego, which means I speak. Oh, look at that animation, so beautiful. So yeah, third person, plural, present active indicative, lexical form Lego, which means I speak, I say.
Most people just scream when they stop
reading. Exactly. That's how I remember it. Luis. That one should be easy, right? That's one of your paradigm words. Yeah. So, parse that one real quick for me.
Okay, so that is second.
Second person?
It is singular.
Singular.
Present
tense.
And then active, indicative.
Active, indicative, because we haven't learned anything else. From the word. Luo. Yeah. You're always, with verbs, you pretty much expect to hear the word, the sound O at the end of it, Luo, because that's your first person, present, active, indicative.
So it just goes to the top left corner.
Yeah. So luo, which means?
I loose,
yeah. I loose, I destroy, I break. Second singular present active indicative. From luo, meaning I loose or I destroy. Let's do number two. That's a fun one. That's a word that you'll see a lot.
This one is
third person,
right?
Third person, yeah.
Okay, make it singular.
Third person singular?
Present active indicative.
Present active indicative?
Let's perform.
What would you guess?
First two letters plus and plus O.
Yeah, so sound it out. Yeah. No, that's a chi.
Oh, right.
Xi is this quick, swirly one.
So it'd be
Yeah, echo. Or just echo. Okay. Modern Greek speakers will just say echo. So yeah, from echo, which means... and actually, go ahead and pull out your... Go to chapter, whatever it is, 15, 16?
Page
120. Yeah. That one. 137. This is where most of the verbs that you've learned so far are. So what does echo mean?
I hold.
See, that's a really common word. You talk about what you have a lot of the time. Which one do you want to do? Pistou amen or akuo? Akuo is way too easy.
Pistou amen.
Yeah. What's pistou amen? Yeah, just go ahead and shoot. Akuo is just first person, singular, present active, and it's the lexical form, so. So yeah, let's put stew on then.
First person? Yeah, that is plural. Present active, indicative.
Present active, indicative?
Pistou?
Yeah, pistuo. From pistuo, which means, this is a pretty important theologically speaking word. It means, I believe. Or I trust. So, a lot of talk about what exactly does pistuo mean. Yeah. So right now, parsing tense, voice, and mood is really easy, right? Present active, indicative. Once we get into more and more different kinds of tenses and different voices, it'll be. But you can pretty much get in the habit of putting indicative in for the mood when you see a verb.
Okay.
Let's do number 8.
Second person.
Second person plural.
Present active indicative.
Present active indicative.
Last one is Lego.
Lego, yep. Which means?
I speak, but in this case, it would mean y'all speak.
Y'all speak, yeah. That's something different. When I learned how to parse in a DTS, when you parse, you put down the lexical meaning.
Okay.
So that's, if you see my headings, I have lexical form, lexical meaning, and on mounts, he has lexical form, inflected meaning. You can put whichever one you want. I know which one you're talking about. Okay, let's do number 7. Second person singular.
Oh, wait, no. That's not a verb.
There you go.
Okay,
good catch. No, that's...
That would make it plural.
Plural?
Accusing? Is person plural? No, it's not. Dative. Plural dative.
Plural dative? So, yeah. Case would be dative. Number would be... Plural, gender. You gotta know the word.
It would be, it'll probably be feminine.
Let's see. What page is it on? For some reason, this one was easy for me to remember. Uh, wasting too much time. It's from the word ergon, which means work. Based on that ending, ergon, what gender would you guess it is?
Masculine. Or, well,
neuter.
Yeah.
That's what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, neuter. On is your neuter ending. And there you go. Dative plural neuter doesn't have a voice or a mood because it's not a verb. So when you got that, you just put in none or a dash or something, whatever. And then from ergon, which means work. I guess the reason that made sense to me was physics, because ergon made me think of the word energy, and work is
energy.
Is energy, yeah. So energy expended over X number of, yeah, so... let's do pistues.
Okay. That is not a noun.
It's not a noun. Good.
So that would be a second singular.
Second singular.
Present active indicative.
Present active indicative.
Number 3, I believe.
Yeah. From pistuo, which means I believe. If you were to give the inflected meaning, what would it?
Y'all believe.
Is it? No, it's singular. So it'd be...
We believe.
That'd be first person plural.
They believe.
That'd be third person plural. You believe. There you go. Yeah. It's all right. It gets all mumbled together in your head, and you're like, it's one of these. Just keep throwing it out there. Yeah. Second person singular present active indicative from pistuo, which means you believe. The others are there. I think you got this down pretty well, though. So, let's do some basic translate. Did you try any of the translations?
No, I kind of moved on from parsing after I saw that I could not do it very
effectively. Okay. Let's work through some of these, and then... first one's easy, alpha. It's essentially just another parsing.
Yeah, well, that's pistuo.
Pistuo.
I believe.
Which means I believe, yeah. Easy peasy. Beta's a little bit tougher, so let's do that one. So remember, whenever you're translating, start out, find the subject. Is there a nominative in the sentence? That's going to be your subject. That's out to... Which means it's a pronoun. It means his. But what? Can you parse it? What's?
That's genitive singular.
Genitive singular, right? Tain phonane, is that in the nominative?
No, it's not nominative.
Right. So you got no nominative, because akues is your verb. So what does that tell you? Where is the subject? It's in the verb.
Okay.
So if you were to translate that verb, you knew that one, right? Like akues, it's from the word akuo, which means... Come on, you got it right on the quiz.
Oh, that's about I hear.
I hear, yeah. Alright, so akuo is I hear, akues, parse it for me, so tell me what the translation is.
So that's second person... Singular.
Second person singular, which would mean that it means you hear. So it's you hear, And since there's no other nominative noun, that's the subject. You is the subject. Okay. You here. All right. Tain fo nain autu.
So it's probably you hear the something of him. Or
you hear the something of him or his something. Phone. What does that sound like in English?
Phone.
Phone. All right. What would you guess the word means then?
Maybe like words and speaking.
Yeah, maybe words. It means voice or sound. So like the phonograph, right? The sound that comes out.
It you hear his voice.
Graphs, sounds, graph. These come from Greek word. Phone means sound, and graph, it means transmit sound. There you go.
That's how you remember it?
Yeah. So yeah, you hear the sound of him, you hear his sound, his voice. Those would all be acceptable translation. I think I said you hear his voice. Alright, let's go around to the next one. You know, I think you know all the vocab in this one, so.
This is
yeah, pistuete, which, but start out, find your subject. Is there a nominative?
Yes.
Where is it?
Last word. Ton.
Okay, parse that article for me. Remember, ha he ta, two taste two, to te ton, ton ting ton. Yeah, it could only be accusative. Because if it's nominative, the article is ta, but the ending is on, right? That's where the neuter endings don't match up exactly with their article.
Okay.
So, ha he ta. So you'd be losing the new there if it were nominative. So it's accusative, and then it's attached to the word thea. What's that word mean?
This is a super familiar one.
This is the Sunday school answer.
Jesus.
God. Theos. I think theology. This, again, these come from Greek word. Theos is means God, and logos it means study, a word. This words about God. Theology, there you go. I'm going to do that every time. So yeah, but that's in the accusative case, not the nominative.
So this is it's getting a lot easier.
Yeah.
To associate it with something other than English.
Yeah.
It's nothing like English, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's you believe something.
Something.
And then the God.
God, yeah. Give you a clue, that's a preposition. That's going to be a word you see all over the New Testament, so you got to know that one.
In,
yeah. Do you believe in God? Ace, and that's ace, and then N, epsilon, nu, are your two words that mean in. And they are all over the place. And again, people argue about what is the difference between ace and n, and I think it just comes down to which one did the guy feel like writing at the time. There's almost we can't tell much difference. Let's do deikumen entonomen metakaras. Oh, okay. Let's do the letter eta. Last one of the warm-ups.
So that is starting off finding.
Yeah, look for your nominative.
A nominative. So that would be last word, and that would
parse your article. Your articles are your friends.
Okay, so, Ton.
Ton, yeah.
But that would not... That would not make it nominative, so there's no...
Correct.
There's no nominative.
No nominative, so that means your subject is where?
In the verb.
In the verb. So, your verb is... comes from the word blepo, which means I see, but that says blepe, so what's that actually say?
He, she, it sees.
So he, she, it sees, you don't know who because you don't have a context, so you just throw he on there, just pick one. He sees, tan Yezun. This is your other Sunday school answer.
Jesus.
He sees Jesus. Yeah. Blepe ton Yezun. The way I remember Yezun is because I grew up singing in choir. And Jesus, it's like, that's, you sing that all the time. Jesu Christo. In different Latin things. And Jesus. It kind of, you can see it a little bit. Yeah. You gotta remember all of your I's are J's in English, so.
Okay.
I don't, that's not true. All of your J's in English will be represented by I's in Greek because they don't have a J. So John is Yoan, starts with an I. See that a lot. Okay, number two is a good one. Illustrates a few things. Sound, or read it for me. Just put you through torture.
Who?
Ha. Yeah.
Ha. It's a P, so it's a.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. They are hot and crumbly.
All right.
Mom does not want crumbs in the carpet, so.
Got it.
Petros?
Thanks.
Yes, ha, Petros.
Legay. Alto.
Alto, good.
Sue.
It's not a sound. I'm having a bit of trouble here. Can you please try us again?
Was that Siri?
Yes, it was.
What did we say that made it respond? Like, hey, I'll tell Sue. Sue A.
Okay, that's not a sound I normally make on my own.
Yeah. It's, remember, that's a diphthong. So.
Yeah.
A.
Ha.
Ha.
And that's X. I don't see that very often, and I should remember that more better.
That's a chi.
Okay. So it's a... There. Christos. Christos, which is Christ, right?
Which is Christ. Christos. Christos. That aw sound. So yeah. Ha Petros lege auto su e ha Christos. Alright. Okay, so now let's translate. Start out. Do you have anything in the nominative?
Yes.
So yes. How many things in the nominative do you have?
Two.
All right, so start with your first phrase. You see, anytime you see punctuation, it lets you know, okay, this is going to be a chunk. So you start with this first phrase. Ha Petros lege auto.
So Petros would be the subject of the sentence.
Correct. And it's capitalized, which clues you in that it's a name. Because names are like the only thing they capitalize in Greek. So
it's Peter.
Peter. Lege.
Lege. So that's not Lego. I mean, it is, but it's
it is
not,
Lego.
But like, it, you don't, it doesn't mean Lego. That's what I was,
yeah.
That's what I meant. I speak. So Peter speaks. Is that the
correct?
Yeah, that would be. He speaks.
Yeah.
So Peter, he speaks then out to be his, him.
Yeah, so it'd be him. Parse it for me.
That's, dative. It could be either masculine or neuter.
Yes. Peter speaks with your dative. What's your translation word that you throw in the front of it? There's just a couple different ones, right?
In, with, to.
Here, say, so we've already got Peter speaks something him, to makes the most sense. Peter speaks to him, Peter says to him. Okay. So this is another way that you'll introduce, quotations, as you put a colon in Greek. He says to him, this is what he said. Sou e ha Christos. So what did Peter say to him?
Something,
the Christ, yeah. Sou means...
he is the Christ.
Close. Sou means you. I'll just give you that one. Sou means you.
You're saying A means R.
Yeah. R. Parse A for me. You remember the... I forget which notes they're on. What week did we go over that? We went over the to-be verb. The Amy.
So that's, I think that was,
this is the week we did prepositions.
Second person, so that would be, you.
Right. So you are a Christos?
You are Christ.
Yeah, you are. Well, in this place, I would insist on putting the word the.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Just for English speakers, to remind them that Christ isn't a name, it's a title. It's the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. All those are legitimate. Interesting thing, though. Okay, so we got Sou and Ha Christos. Both are in the nominative, I believe.
So both are subjects.
Correct. So what you're seeing here is this is called a predicate nominative. It's a fancy word. It means that there's a nominative that's in the predicate of a sentence. Right? You got subject and predicate. Subject is the one acting. Predicate is the one receiving action, usually. Mm-hmm. So you are the Christ. Predicate nominative, there's a whole bunch of rules you got to memorize to know which one's the subject, because in Greek, word order doesn't matter as much, right? So how do you know he's not saying the Christ you are?
Because it shows that Christ is receiving the action as well. So it shows that he's not just calling him the Christ because it is Christ.
Yeah, close. That's good insight. For English speakers, it just... The Christ are you. You are the Christ. It doesn't matter. It's equative, so we're saying the same thing. But the way that you know that Sou is the subject and not Ha Christos is it's a pronoun. So the pecking order for predicate nominatives. When you come across a predicate nominative, first it's the pronoun as the subject. If there's no pronoun, the noun with the article is the subject.
Since there is a pronoun, that would make...
Since there is a pronoun, the pronoun is the subject. You is the subject, and then are is the verb, and then Ha Christos would be the object. So yeah, this would be the proper English translation. It would not be right to say the Christ are you. We'd be communicating an improper idea, even though it means the same thing. But
yeah.
Other examples, when you get into this construction, it becomes significant. That's one of the big. You know, the in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, the construction there in Greek, there's no article on the word God. And it's a construction called an anorthous preverbal predicate nominative. Which means,
wow.
Yeah, fancy. It means, anorthous means it's without the article. pre-verbal means it comes before the verb in the construction. And then predicate nominative means that there's two nominatives in that sentence, God and the word. So, halagos, theos. Which one's the subject and how do you, is it definite? Is it the God? So is, the question is the translation, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God, or the word was a God? So because it's an author's pre-verbal predicate nominative, it makes absolutely clear that it is a definite the God, not a God. So this is when your Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door and they say, well, you know, in the Greek it actually says that the word was a God, and they try and convince you that Jesus wasn't equal to the Father, Yahweh, because they don't believe that. This is why Greek is important. So then you can pull out your Greek New Testament and you say, go ahead and read me that sentence. Halagos theou. No? No, you don't speak? Okay. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Let's do one more translation. Actually, no, we got to get to the new material. If we got more time, we'll do some more translating.
I don't have to worry much about Jehovah's Witnesses in this neighborhood because it wouldn't make it 2 houses down before they get shot.
They don't let those kind in here.
We went fundraising once, and the first word, the first sentence somebody asked us was, how'd you get in here?
We live in the neighborhood. That's why I guess you guys do pay big bucks to live in a gated neighborhood. Alright, new material. Contract verbs. So, this is not as complicated as it sounds when you first hear it. I almost want to tell you to plug your ears when I say this, but it's not that important. It's important if you need to learn it. You need to be able to recognize it. You need to be able to see a verb and go, oh yeah, that's a contract verb. It's going to behave a little bit differently. But you're going to learn all these rules, and the rules are just to help you recognize. So what you need to learn is how to recognize what's going on, not necessarily predict what will happen, if that makes sense. We'll get into it. So think back to verb stems. You've got your stem, connecting vowel, and an ending. And this one will help if I have a... So you got, let's go with luamen. That's a good... Okay. The stem is lu, right? The connecting vowel is omicron. And then the ending is men. So your choices when you learn this are learn that the stem in the first person plural is lua, and then the ending is men, or learn that the third person plural ending is amen, and the stem is lu, or learn all three components separately. I think it's easiest to learn amen is the ending first person plural. However, if you learn it that way, it makes connecting verbs or contract verbs a little bit more tricky, because the way that this letter is interacting with the ending in the word, the way that ah interacts with men, changes sometimes based on what verb it is and what ending is going on. In some cases, the ending vowel in a stem interacts with this, and all of these vowels together just don't make sense. So you got to smush them together and change them to make them make sense. If you have 6 vowels in a row, it's hard to pronounce that word, right? If it's I-A-O, you got to combine some and turn them into diphthongs and drop some to make them make sense. So that's essentially what's going on every time you see a contract verb. It's some ending gets attached, it puts too many vowels together, so they gotta smush them together and mix them around to make it pronounceable. So when that a contraction takes place, contraction is 2 verbs that don't sit well next to each other, and they change into another verb or a diphthong to compensate for that fact. Okay, I think did that track all right?
Yeah.
That's why it happened. A contraction is usually easily recognized if you know your vocab. So this is where it's going to be a struggle for you. You got to know your vocab to know, to recognize your contract verbs.
Does anyone get... I should have to look through and just find the vocab words myself.
Yeah, and I think most of the vocab that he gives you in the end of this section will be... they'll be contract verbs. I think it's chapter 17. So here are the rules for when a contraction takes place, and we're going to go through these kind of quick, but essentially, here's a couple verbs to know. Poieo means I make, I do, or I make. So poieo, P omicron iota, epsilon is the next letter. There you see. So here is without the contraction. If you were to take the stem, poie, P omicron iota epsilon, throw on amen, you've got four vowels in a row. Okay, Greek doesn't like that.
Yeah.
It'd be poie amen. It's just too many together, and it's hard to accent. So anytime an epsilon omicron come together with the connecting vowel and the ending stem, or the omicron epsilon or omicron omicron, it contracts into oo. So it becomes poiumen. Okay, now you know the word poieo, and you know the men ending is first person plural. You can pretty much figure out what poiumen is. Even if you're not going to be sitting there going, wait a second, there's supposed to be an epsilon in there somewhere. But it's confusing enough that if you're not aware of the fact that contraction is going on, it could throw you off down the road. Pleirao is another. So pleira is the stem, and then you throw the ending amen on there. You got omicron, omicron next to each other. Greek doesn't like that. So the omicron, omicron contracts into u. Pleirumen. Instead of pleira amen, you say pleirumen. Just makes for smoother reading. That's why this all went on. Greek mothers taught their Greek sons, two omicrons can sit next to each other. Stop asking stupid questions, Nico. So that's the first rule, is oo is formed from these whenever epsilon, omicron, omicron, epsilon, or omicron, omicron are next to each other. A is formed whenever you have two epsilons. So poie ete, if you were to put this in second person singular, right? Or excuse me, second person plural. Poie ete. Greek doesn't like those two epsilons sitting next to each other, so it changes one of them to an iota. So it's poie, poiete would be poiete instead of poie ete.
But it would still be the same.
Yeah, it still means the same thing. It still is, that is the second person plural version of poieo. Omega is formed anytime you have an omicron in any other instance other than the ones from rule one. So if there's an omicron with some other letter and a contraction is taking place, it turns into an omega. It lengthens. So agapao means I love. That's the verb form of agape, right? Agape is the noun, love. Agapao is the verb form, I love. The alpha omicron, they don't like each other, so they lengthen to an omega. So agapomen instead of agapaomen.
So I'm also noticing there's a circumflex over all of the...
Yes, good eye. That's going to be one of your clues. You see a verb with a known contraction. You see an omega with a thing, or you see a diphthong with a circumflex. Maybe think to yourself, is there a contraction going on here? Will that help me parse this verb? Alpha is formed whenever you have alpha epsilon. The epsilon just kind of drops out. Here's an interesting case, too. So, Luo Luis Lue, third person singular, agapa'e. The alpha and the epsilon contract. And then that puts alpha iota next to each other.
Which makes the iota
subscript. So you have agapa. So agapa with a circumflex and an iota subscript is actually the third person singular of agapao. So that would mean he, she, it loves. This is a form you haven't learned yet, but poiesai is the infinitive. There's a bunch of things happening here. So poiesai, epsilon, sigma, alpha, they don't like sitting next to each other. That's called an intervocalic sigma, when a sigma is in between two vowels that are vocalized. He doesn't like that, so the sigma drops out, which leaves you with poiesai. All those vowels together just are a mess of stuff. So they contract the epsilon alpha, so that turns into poiesai, and then the eta and the eta and the iota don't sit next to it, so the iota subscript, so you have poie. So there's a lot of stuff that went on in that form, but contraction was part of it, so that's why.
And the iota subscript is formed whenever any iota is next to a vowel.
Iota subscript is formed whenever it's next to an, and that's not even always the case. Certain constructions when an eta, alpha, or omega are. It'll only ever subscript underneath those three vowels. And I forget the rule on that. I can look that up, though, as to why it subscripts. All that to say, so those are all the rules that... So, if you were to memorize these five rules and then the three others he gives you to even help you further along, that'll help you figure out any kind of contraction that takes place. You can figure it out. The easier way is to memorize the paradigms. So these are the contraction paradigms. There's the a-o paradigm, the e-o paradigm, and the a-o paradigm. So anytime you get a verb, its stem might end with an alpha, epsilon, or omicron. Those are the only three vowels that it could end with. So those are the only times that this is going to become a problem. So if you remember the a-o pattern, which your pattern verb for that is agapa'o, agapa'o is the lexical form, that's how we would say it, but when you're actually speaking it, the pronounced version would be agapo. I love. Verb, I love. But as you already noticed, the circumflex is what tells you there's a contraction that took place. There's a circumflex on every single one of these. You see that? All the way down. Circumflex clues you in. So poieto is the lexical form. If you look that up in a dictionary, you're going to be looking up poieto. But if you're pronouncing it, you would look up poio. So this is first person, second person, first person, second person, third person. And then singular and plural. And like I said, this—if you know the vocab, if you learn the vocab, and you go agapao, you memorize that word. The a-o, just pronouncing the word, reminds you. Oh yeah, contract verb. It's going to show up a little bit differently here. But even if you don't know any of this, you could still kind of parse these. The only really confusing ones are the second and third person singular. Those are the ones that kind of like trip you up, because you see over here, play Roy. Okay, that could kind of fool you if you don't know your vocab, you don't know there's a verb, that could trick you into thinking that it's a nominative singular, or nominative plural, right?
Yeah.
Hoi hai ta. But you see the circumflex, you remember your vocab, that play ra'o, play ra'o is a verb, means to fill, so that reminds you, okay, this is a verb. How do I parse this as a verb? That's going to be if you memorize this chart, you don't really have to worry about contractions. You just remember how to recognize them.
I'm guessing this is quiz next week.
Yeah, that's going to be quiz next week.
Okay.
And then vocab.
Yeah.
You really got to catch up on vocab.
Mm-hmm.
That's
how it is.